some that weren't here last week, we began to study, to learn a kuntres. Don't be frightened that it says on the Simcha's basis, Shoeva. It's on the subject of Simcha. It's by the same author, the same tzaddik that whose work we were studying last summer on the subject of parenting. It was said at the time of Simchas Beis HaShoeva, but it applies to each and every one of us every single day of our lives. And judging by conversations that I have with people all the time, it seems to me that Simcha is something that we're all looking for. We understand very little about, and we're not quite sure how to bring it into our lives. We wait for it to happen, and when it happens, it's terrific, and then it passes. But we need to work on the inyan of Simcha. And last week, we had a little bit of a hakdama, and what we were talking about on page Tavkuf Samachay, it's actually the third page that you have. The first word is tzaddik, the first paragraph is tzaddikim, right? That Hashem wants us to serve Him in two basic ways. And it's confusing. I mentioned last week, the Zohar says that there's one side of the heart, of the Jewish heart, that's crying, and there's the other side of the heart that's laughing. And this paradox that we're stuck, we're caught someplace between laughing and crying, is the result of the two types of avodah that Hashem asks of us. Hashem asks us to serve Him, be ahava and simcha, with joy, with love. On the other hand, Hashem is Baruch demands that we fear Him, that we revere Him, and we serve Him with that midah of yira. What the tzaddik explains over here is that we see throughout, not only throughout Torah, and not only in the Seder of the Yomim Tovim, of all Yontivs, but even historically, that the concept of Avram Holidus Yitzchak means that the only kind of fear or reverence or awe that Hashem wants of us is that which follows, which comes as the result of a healthy attitude of Simcha. Avram Holidus Yitzchak, Avram, which means Ahava, love and joy, gives birth to Yitzchak, to fear. But when there's a fear that's not preceded by love, when one's relationship with Hashem is just of fear, just of pure practical observance of halacha without being infused with the ahava, with the simcha, with the joy of Avraham Avinu, so then it can cause, God forbid, a terrible shvira, a shattering of the personality of that person's avodas Hashem. Therefore, this seder that we spoke about last week is the seder of the blowing of the shofar, tkiyah, which means joy, means ahava, love, that clear sound, shvarim trua, the broken sounds that indicate trembling and fear. And then we conclude, we return to the joy, to the simcha of the tkiyah gedola. This is the seder of life. And so it is with the Yom Tovim. We're not going to go through that, we did that last week. And what we were talking about at the end was so too in the Seder of the history of our people. This is what we were learning on the last paragraph on the right-hand side, which we'll review very quickly. Because of Mitzadikim, Schusim Agenelen Shagam B'Seder HaDairis Ukach, that we see this in the order of generations as well. Shabidairis HaRishonim Haisa HaAvayda Yaisa Mitoich Simcha, that in the earliest period of Tanakh, the basic general way that the Jewish people served Hashem was with joy, with passion, with warmth, with ahava, with love. That is the period that is referred to as the time of Torah Shebichsav, of the written Torah, of prophecy, of Lei Imenu. It was a time when the Jewish people felt an intense, intimate relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This, of course, proved to be overwhelming. And as a result of that, the Yetzirah, the evil inclination for idolatry, the imagination had gone crazy. And as always, when the emotions are very strong, there's the danger of those feelings spilling into inappropriate types of behavior. And so too, the first Beis HaMikdash ultimately was destroyed because of Shvichas Damim, immorality, and so on. But that first period of history of Tanakh, of Torah Shebichsav, of prophecy, was one of extreme spirituality, of extreme joy in the service of Hashem, and emotion. This didn't succeed. Then the period of the second Beis HaMikdash, which is connected to Rachel Imenu, therefore we find throughout the Zohar and the writings of the Arizal, that the oral Torah, Torah Shel Baal Peh, is compared to Rachel Imenu. The Torah Shel Baal Peh is described as being exceedingly beautiful, just as Rachel. And also, as you know, that the Rachela means the lamb, the wool of the lamb, is compared to the intricate laws of the oral Torah, Torah Shel Baal Peh. So the second period of history, Torah Shel Baal Peh, is primarily a time of fear, which means when the Jewish people retreated somewhat from the joyous, passionate, prophetic way of serving Hashem, and retreated more to a pragmatic, practical, halachically bound, very often less emotional way of serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This too, ultimately, on its own, cannot bring redemption to the Jewish people, is not the end, is not the salvation of the Jewish people. But in history, this is the order. Simcha, the beginning of our history, then Yira, the fear, the awe that would become manifested in a complete and totally consuming concern with every single intricate detail of Torah Shel Baal Peh, of halachic observance. There are many, many Jews who, because of their care and concern to observe every single detail of halacha, they sometimes are paying so much attention to the trees that they lose sight of the forest. And therefore, in our time, meaning this period of Torah Shel Baal Peh, something of that fire and that passion of the prophetic earlier period of Nevuah has been lost. Therefore, in Rav Kook, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, in his unbelievable Sefer in Iris, he spoke about something that he called Ke'ev Ha'olam, the pain of the world. It's impossible to paraphrase Rav Kook, and even translating Rav Kook is very difficult, but one of the most talented translators translated the sentence where Rav Kook defines the pain of the world. What is the pain of the world? He writes the following. Imagination no longer predominated in Israel. Once the evil inclination for idolatry was taken, some of the craziness and some of the passion that went with that strong imagination that dominated during a period of prophecy was taken, but it was taken not only from our idolatrous ways, but it was taken in general from us. Therefore, if Cook says, imagination no longer predominated in Israel, by the same token, we are bereft of prophets, and the flame of love for nation and land is not felt in the same profound way as in the days of old. So there's something missing during this period, which is dominated by awe, by trembling, by fear, and strict observance of every detail of halacha, which of course we have to observe, and we must. But something has been lost. The end of time, the Baruch Hashem, we're in, which the tzaddikim, the Talmidei HaBaal Shem Tov, believe with all of their hearts, was initiated by the appearance of Kodim, the Ari HaKadosh, and then subsequently the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh. Obviously, all who have been listening understand that in these two ways of Leah, which is that passionate, emotional way of serving Hashem, with a taste of prophecy, and the second way, which is Rachel, which is more the didactic, pragmatic way of serving Hashem, these two movements would materialize in modern times, as the way of the Baal Shem Tov and the way of the Vilna Gaon. These two ways of serving Hashem, which ultimately will be integrated in that human being who we're davening for, especially these days, for Mashiach Sikain. And Mashiach ben Yosef from the house of Rachel, Mashiach ben David from the house of Leah, and the interfacing of those two worlds, which ultimately, the Mashiach ben David, who will rule the world, is the way of Lei Imenu, which will dominate, which is once again a return to serving Hashem with simcha, with tremendous joy, however, tempered with the way of Rachel Imenu, with the way of the Vilna Gaon. Therefore he teaches, and afterwards, later on in history, the way of serving Hashem was more with what? With fasting and with fear. However, the conclusion, the end of time, which is now, of course, we have to always concentrate on the fear, and there must always be the trembling and the care with halacha. But the Rebbeinu Shalom wants that the ikra avodah should be at the end of time, rak mitaycha hava v'simcha v'chizik, in these days, with ahava, simcha, joy, and chizik. K'meisha kolsumei Rebbein Lublin, al ma'amar Hashem Yisbarach l'Avram, or Hashem Yisbarach tol Avram avinu b'chol chosman, that even though we say in the first bracha of Shemin Esrei, Elokei Avram, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov, but B'chol Chaisman means that the end of time, the chasima, the conclusion, the seal of history, the ikkah would be the way of Avraham Avinu, which is love, which is simcha, which is joy. She'ikkah avayda b'yameinu hi midas ahava v'asimcha avados shal Avraham Avinu k'may shahedal b'shem Yisbarach ahav me'ahavi. Afal pisha b'vaday tomit sarach liyayis im yira, certainly it has to always be with yira, with fear, with awe. V'tomit yesh l'kol echad yira, aval gam ha'yira tzricha liyayis b'yameinu mitoich ahava. Even nowadays, healthy yiras Hashem, fear of Hashem, and observance of Torah can only emerge from the person who feels a sense of joy and a sense of ahava that he is loved by Hashem. When a Jew feels that the Baruch Shalom loves him, there's a type of fear that the Ramchal describes, he calls Yiras HaRoimimus. In other words, the lowest level of fear in God is to be afraid, being afraid of getting punished, being afraid of a patch, that also is fear of God. But that is an immature and can be a very dangerous and destructive way of fearing Hashem. It can paralyze. There's a higher level of fear of God, of fearing God, which is called Yiras HaRoimimus. That means, as he says here, that when a person loves somebody so much, I can't bear the thought of doing something that would hurt that person. I can't bear the thought of doing something that would be disappointing. Not that would anger the person. But this is what he says. Sheyovi nachas ruach lavino. I can't do something that won't bring nachas to my father. I can't imagine doing something that would disappoint my father. Why? Not because I'm afraid of a patch, but because I love him so much, and I know that he loves me so much, that I can't bear the thought of that disappointment. This is the way that he says of B'chol Chosman at the end of time, this is the way to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is the only way that will succeed and create healthy, well-adjusted Jews who observe Torah and Mitzvahs B'simcha with Yiras Hashem. Now he says something, he's alluding to something here which is very remarkable. And really, over the years I've given a number of shiurim on this subject, and it's hard to try to explain in a few minutes. And as I mentioned last week, it will definitely sound somewhat odd to those who are not used to it. But it's discussed in many, many svarim, and we'll touch upon it a little bit here. V'lachayin, therefore, Ritzoin Avinu Shabashamaim Shinishtamishim Kol Ma'ashe Evsher Lasis Nachas Ruach L'Avinu Shabashamaim. Therefore, Hashem wants us to use any method that we can, as long as it's not against Halacha, God forbid. Anything that we can use to bring him nachas, to bring him joy. Whatever we can do to bring ourselves to a state of joy and to feel love for Hashem, we should use. Now here comes something that might be shocking. There is one way of awakening joy that Hashem wants us to use, particularly in these days before the end. Which means telling jokes. Milsa dibdichusa. Now that term, milsa dibdichusa, is a term that we have in Chazal. Because the Gemara tells us that there were great tzaddikim, tanoim and amoraim, that they would begin the shiur each day by saying a milsa dibdichusa, a joke. And then the hearts of the students, the talmidim, their hearts would be opened. And then, yasvei be'emesa, they would sit then with great awe and fear, and would learn and would go through the shiur. Milsa dibdichusa. I'm going to explain more about this. Shekoydim halimud. Before one can learn, before one can adjust to a more serious, more intense, fearful relationship with Hashem, the tzaddikim have revealed to us that there is the way of milsa dibdichusa. Milsa dibdichusa doesn't mean you have to tell some sort of a joke, but it means lightheartedness and humor. I remember somebody was telling, one of my talmidim was telling me that he was at Elavaya Lo Aleinu. He was a very special doctor in Far Rockaway who passed away some years ago. This was a doctor that not only healed broken bodies, but broken hearts. And Rav Freifeld, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, was saying a hesped. He was eulogizing this doctor. And in the course of the hesped, Rav Freifeld said, I wasn't there, but someone told me that Rav Freifeld said that this doctor, he knew how to tell a good joke. He was so gishmak, he knew how to tell a good joke. And this Talmud of mine that heard Rav Freifeld say that was standing next to some bacher who said, What's he saying? Chas v'chalila. He's saying that he's a leitz. The doctor was a leitz. What kind of leitz on us? And I got very nervous. Nabach, the boy didn't understand that there's a way of serving Hashem that's called milsa dibdichusa, with humor. Va'oifen shaleitzenusa davar azor. One of the most popular subjects or objects of Jewish humor is ridiculing and mocking the ways of idolatry, which doesn't mean that you have to talk about other religions. It means self being self-effacing, meaning ridiculing, mocking those things in life that are narishkeit, that are silly. Afal pi shleit sonus, I'm going to explain this much more. Afal pi shleit sonus ya klipa kosher b'yoser. Even though we know that in general late sonus, mockery is a very, very dangerous klipa, which means it comes from the side of evil. Because we've been taught in the Zohar that it comes from the 50th gate, the lowest level of impurity. Therefore, the Jewish people were not allowed to pass through the land of the Plishtim when we left Egypt, because the main force and energy of the Plishtim is what is late sonus. That's the main cause. Every one of the 70 nations has a certain fault, a certain type of tumah, of impurity that troubles us, that challenges us. The way of the Plishtim is Leitzanus. Therefore, Goliath, one of the most famous Plishtim, his way in evil was to make fun, to mock, to ridicule. And that is the way of the Plishtim. Therefore, how could it be that there's this inyan of Milsa Dibdichusa? What does it mean to use a joke, to use a sense of humor? If Leitzanus comes from what that place that's called the 50th gate of impurity of the Plishtim, Can you imagine even somebody who has fallen into 49 levels of impurity into the world of Egypt, he can still get out. He can still be redeemed. Which we did, we were taken out of Mitzrayim from 49 levels of impurity. But God forbid a Jew who sinks into that klipa, into that shell, into that world, into that impurity that's called Leitzanis. That is called the 50th level, from where it's almost impossible to return. Therefore, you would think that if Leitzanis has such power to tear a person away from holiness, from Hashem, so you would think, so how could it be? What is the meaning of using Leitzanis in the service of Hashem? Now, in order to understand the next paragraph, I'm going to have to explain for a few minutes. And I apologize, in general, I'm going to try to stick to the text, unless I feel that it's possibly impossible to understand without a little bit editorial comment. There's a pasuk that's found in Sefer Yoel. It's in the fourth parak of Yoel. It's a very mysterious pasuk, and it's deeply connected to what's happening in Chumash right now. You recall that the Jewish people were led astray in the place of Shittim with the women from Moab. This is the result, Bilam and the whole Maisa with Pinchas afterwards. You also remember that when Yehoshua sent spies to the land, when he sent the land to be spied, by who were the spies? Kalev and Pinchas. When he sent the spies, he sent them from Shittim, from that place of Shittim. And according to the Svarma Kedoshim, the Bnei Sosra and others, they were sent from Shittim in order to repair the damage that took place with the women of Moab and the Jewish men in Shittim. Now, why is this so important? Let me read to you this pasuk from Sefer Yoel. And if you have a chance, look in Navi later on in the fourth parak of Yoel. V'hoye b'yoyim ha'hu. And it will be on that day, Yitfu ha'horim asis, the mountains shall drop down sweet wine, asis, v'hagvos te'lachna cholav, and the hills shall flow with milk, v'cholafike Yehuda yelchu mayim, and the watercourses of Yehuda shall flow with water, Umayan mi beis Hashem yetze. Listen carefully now, this is the main part. And a fountain will flow forth from the house of Hashem. Umayan mi beis Hashem yetze. Vihishka es nachal shittim. And it will water and give life to the valley of Shittim. This is a description of the end of time. That there's going to be something delicious and sweet that is going to flow out from Hashem's house, the Beis HaMikdash Mishalayim, and it's going to flow like milk and honey, and it's going to be like a fountain that will give life by watering the valley of Shittim. What is the valley of Shittim? We associate Shittim in Tanakh, in Chumash, with these parashiyas, with the terrible, terrible immorality and mistake that took place with the Jewish people and the women of Moab. Which ultimately, the repair of that would begin when Yeshua sends two tzaddikim. Where did they go? To whose house did they go? They left Shittim, and where did they go? To the house of Rachav. Rachav, who was, we know earlier, according to at least the majority of opinions in Chazal and Mepharshim, was a place of immorality, her home. She would ultimately convert and marry Yehoshua. This woman would be the source of Malchus and of prophecy. for the Jewish people till the end of time. And it's the beginning of the conquest of Eretz Yisrael, which is the land of joy, Misos Kol Haaretz, of imagination and of prophecy. So what is happening? What is this fountain that's flowing in Shittim? This is a very deep subject in Torah. A number of talks over the years I've given on Purim are related to this, because the whole Simcha of Purim comes from this. The Rebbe Rashab, Reb Sholem Baer from Lubavitch, has a kuntras called Kuntras Umayin Mi Beis Hashem. He has a kuntras on this pasuk, Chabad Mayim. And that tzaddik, the Rebbe Rashab from Lubavitch, discusses there two types of shtuyot, shtusim. What shtus? Narishkeit. There are two types of shtus. In Yiddish, you say shtusim. Really, it's shtuyos. But there are two types of shtusim. Or my father would say shtisim. There are two types. One is shtus de klipa, which means comedy, humor, mockery that comes from the side of impurity. That's the plishtim, 50th level of tumah. And the other is called shtus de kedusha, which means humor, laughter, and comedy, and narishkeit that comes from the side of joy, of kedusha, of holiness. Rav Kook called this ma'at sichlus yikara. Rav Kook said that if anybody wants to be a Jew, he must have within him a little bit of precious silliness. If you're completely serious, Rav Kook said, you cannot serve the master of the world. Ma'at sichlus yikara. A little bit of precious silliness. Now you have to be careful. If you go overboard, then you enter into the world of the plishtim. And Hashem said you can't go by way of Derech Eretz plishtim, because there's the shtus of holiness and there's the shtus of impurity. Now understand that the underlying koach beneath comedy, humor, and joy is the imagination. The imagination. Imagination also fuels prophecy. As the Rambam, Rabbi Yehuda Levi, and all the Rishonim explain, that prophecy depends upon a powerful intellect, the way of the Vilna Gaon and so on, but prophecy cannot exist without a powerful imagination. Imagination, when it's directed towards holiness, thrives also. And that's exactly what Freifeld was talking about, that doctor that knew how to say a good joke when he had a Jew that was frightened because he wasn't feeling well. And that doctor knew how to tell a good joke to give that person a desire to live. You know, I'll tell you a crazy story because we're talking about craziness. You know, there's a crazy story. You heard of the Rebbe Rabbunim from Pshischa? The Holy Rebbe Rabbunim. There was a maaser that they say, I saw it in the Sefer. There was a time that the Rebbe Rabbunim was standing with some chassidim, and they were going to, in the summer, to swim in a lake or the ocean somewhere. And apparently, there was a Jew that went out a little bit beyond his place, and there was some problem over there, and he was going under. And he started to scream that he's drowning. Now, the Rebbe was standing with the chassidim. They had a thing, a little thing that you throw out, a lifesaver, to help the person. So this person is starting to scream and he's starting to go under. And the Rebbe Rabbinim screams out, send regards to the Levyasin. You know Levyasin, to that famous fish that we're going to eat at the time of Mashiach. So he says, send regards to the Levyasin. And the Chassidim couldn't believe it. And that the Rebbe says such a thing, the guy's about to drown. And then the Rebbe says, what are you standing there? Quickly take the thing and throw it, save him. And they took it and they swam there and they saved the guy. So after they brought him back, so the Chassidim asked the Rebbe Bunim, what's that, a joke? Send regards to the Levyos and the guy's about to drown. So the Rebbe Bunim said, listen to me, you should know that this Jew, his whole life, this Jew is swimming, he's drowning in something else. It's called Marushchar, which means depression. This is a depressed Jew. And this is a Jew who doesn't have enough light and joy in his life to really want to live. And I saw in that split second that unless I tell a joke, some joke. It sounds crazy. I know it sounded very cruel. But I had to say something, a little bit something, to create an opening for him to survive. And then you were able to save him. It's hard for us to understand such things. We should definitely not experiment with these things. And we should know from such things. Shtus de Kedusha, that the Rebbe of Shabbos is talking about in Rav Kook, means that, there's a type of joy, there's a type of comedy that comes from that place that's called Shittim. Now you understand the word Shittim. It means what? Shittim is Shtus, Shaitim. In impurity, that imagination, that recklessness can cause Jews to go with the women from Moab. And that's what happened during the time of the first Beis Hamikdash, when there was too much of that imagination and too much of that passion. On the other hand, when it's used properly, and that's described as it's going to flow from the house of Hashem, there's nothing that's sweeter, that's more beautiful. When a tzaddik is smiling, when a tzaddik tells a milsa de b'dichusa, when Jews have a joyous occasion in a way of holiness, there's nothing that could open up the heart, there's nothing that could bring a Jew as close to Hashem as Baruch, as shtus de kedusha, a leitzonus that comes from holiness. Therefore, this ultimately was necessary to repair the impure use of shtus that took place with the daughters of Moab. Yehoshua sends the meraglim davke to the house of Rochav, which means unbridled passion and emotion, to begin the conquest of the land of prophecy, which is Eretz Yisrael, so the Jewish people would be able to conquer that impure side of imagination and of joy, and to bring it into the place that comes from Beis Hashem Vehishka is Nachal Shittim, to water the valley of Shittim, that there should be stus of holiness, the joy and the song of the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh and his Talmidim, that we need in order to bring Mashiach into this world, and that Mashiach is going to bring to this world. Therefore, I'm going to show you something quite remarkable. The Seer of Lublin, the Chayza of Lublin, brings from the Rebbe Zushia that the Rebbe Zushia said, "Kshayi writes Elias Le Beliba Ahavas Habayre Baruch Hu Letfila V'Chayitzi Bay." That sometimes the Rebbe Zushia said that when he was trying to awaken within himself, before davening, a strong love of Hashem, Hayezoicheloi Ahavos L'Shiyeshlo, and he found that it wasn't happening. He would try to remember a simpler type of love that he had. What does that mean? He says, V'chein l'chol adam k'shu nizka mashu ayhev bonim shaloi mishpachtai. So the Rebbe Zushu would start to think of his children, of his family. And Rebbe Zushu taught, ayafilu ma'oisev shesameach behem. He had a good day at work, parnosa, something was successful, to think of something that on the most basic and simple level can awaken, even if it's a shtus, an Irish guy, but can awaken a feeling of joy. It can open the heart. Because really, in truth, every Jew in the depth of who he is feels great love and joy in serving Hashem, but that's so covered up with so many layers of this world that we can't find Hashem. Therefore, the tzaddikim taught that oftentimes, in order to be able to reach that place of love and that place of joy, we have to make use of shtus, of narishkeit, of a simple type of joy. I mean, many times that I've had, doesn't always sound right, but there have been situations, for instance, with some, where I've had women that have spoken to me about certain things that they felt were oppressing them. And one of the suggestions I always give is, why don't you maybe go buy yourself some new outfit or something? Or maybe go to have in town, they have some place where you can go for a facial. I don't even know exactly what that means, but I guess it has to do with the face. So to go and treat yourself, but of course this, I said, treat yourself. You're always spending money on the children, you're spending money on everything else. Go and splurge and have a good time. Find a chaver to go buy something and have a nice time. Shtus de kedusha. that when a person is drawn out from that place of darkness, then instead of drowning, he has a rotzen, a desire to live. When a Jew has a desire to live, then then you could once again focus on how much you love Hashem and how good He's been to you. Who is the famous Rebbe Rebbeir, Mizritcha Magid. And this is found at great length in the writings of the Mizritcha Magid. And the Magid said, therefore, if it takes a cup of mashke, again in measure, for a man to have a drink, again, this is like all good things, if it's abused, then it becomes something which is not for serving Hashem, but from the most wonderful way of serving Hashem, it could fall into the 50th place of the plishtim. One has to be very careful. And the tzaddikim warn us about this, and we'll read about that in a moment. This concept of what? Of shtus de kedusha, of holy silliness. Let me read to you a paragraph. You don't have this in front of you. Rabbi Nachum Breslover spoke often of this. And his great disciple, Rabbi Nosson Breslover, explained one of the teachings of Rabbi Nachman in the following way. Listen carefully to every word. Rabbi Nosson explains that the nature of man is that he easily is led into sadness and depression. It's the nature of a human being. Every person is filled with misery and with anguish. Al Kain, therefore, he says, you have to force yourself with all of your koiches to be besimcha. You have to force yourself to be besimcha. Rabbi Nachman used to say that whenever Jews are dancing, there'll always be a few Jews that are standing on the outside and they don't join. Not because they're tired or they're too old, but they stop. They can't join. And they don't want to be part of the dance. Rabbi Nachman says, check and you will see. Take that Jew and physically force him to dance. First, his feet will move a little bit. Slowly it will move up his entire body. Till long after all the other people have stopped dancing, this Jew will still be dancing. There's a way to force joy, but to force oneself to act in a joyous way. And since, as we're going to learn in this kuntra together, the pnimius of a Jew is really filled with joy. So even though in the beginning, initially, you're acting and you feel this is really ridiculous, like we spoke about last week. You remember the crazy story that I told you? That story that the Rebbe Ryatz said about the organ grinder with a boy, and the guy gives him a clap, and the boy has to keep on singing, Freilich, Freilich. Right? He pounds on the drum and he screams out, everybody happy, happy. He says, what kind of happiness? But the emes is, that the pnimius of a Jew is happy. Therefore, Rabbi Nelson says, you have to force yourself with all of your koiches to be besimcha. V'ikra simcha, yev sheliyos al pi roiv, kim al yidei mila d'shtusa. Rabbi Nelson says, al pi roiv, if you're really in a dark place, he says, usually the surest way of climbing out of that place, none of them are talking about becoming like a joker and an idiot, but how to get out of the darkness, the surest way is what? Aidei mila d'shtusa, shtusam shitim, narishkeiten. V'zeu b'chines mila d'b'dichusa. You know what the Zohar calls David HaMelech? The Zohar calls David HaMelech Badchona de Malka, the court jester of Hashem. David HaMelech was called the king's jester, the clown, Badchona de Malka. Can you imagine if someone would say Hesped by David HaMelech? There'd be some yeshiva bach that would be saying, what's he saying? What's he saying about David HaMelech? Right? Bar Chana de Malka, the Zohar says. He was the court jester. As we just learned. If we see that what the Tanoim and Amoroim in the time of the Gemara, they would tell jokes before learning. Milsa de B'dichusa. Why? Kedei lova l'simcha yidei mila de B'dichusa shay mila de Shtusa davka. To open their hearts and the hearts of the students. V'zenimshach machmes ki'ikir golus Yisrael shul golus hashchina, the main golus that we're in now, which is the golus of the divine presence, the golus of the Shechina. Listen, he says a very, very remarkable thing. Why is it that we can only find Simcha to begin with Simcha? Why is it the surest way isn't Stusim and Arishkai? Why is that Taka? Why can't we have a nicer, a more edler way to find Simcha? Why is it Mila Dishtusa? So he says a very, very remarkable thing. We'd have to talk about this for a few months itself. He says the following. He says the greatest joy in the world is to be a Jew. And the greatest joy in the world is to recognize the connection that a Jew has to the Master of the Universe. But right now, he says, there's something terrible that's in the world. But it seems that those people, Dafka, who are the servants of Hashem, seem to be walking around with their head down, with their heads down, to be sad and depressed. I always tell my students, my talmidim, that come from non-religious homes, and they're all thinking about how to mukarev their parents. So the first thought is, I'm going to buy my mother a blech. You know, I'm going to get her a blech, and I'm going to be mukarev of her. And I always tell them that's the sure way, if you want to, besides burning any cholent, you're going to burn any Yiddishkeit that your mother might ever be interested in. I always tell the kids, you want to know how to be makar of your parents? If you're religious and they see that you're happy, that you're besimcha, if they see that Yiddishkeit is something that infuses you with a purpose, with joy in life, that will attract them to Yiddishkeit. And every time, it's a responsibility of each and every one of us, how we carry ourselves in the street, how we carry ourselves at work, how we carry ourselves in the home. That's why Ramosha Zecher Tzadik Livracha was so upset by that famous Yiddish expression, Shver Tzayin Yid. It's so hard to be a Jew. And Ramosha used to say, that's what the children are hearing, instead of good Tzayin Yid. It's so good to be a Jew. That there's simcha being a Jew. Therefore, what Rabbi Nachman and Rabbi Nosson are saying, that right now there's a horrible situation in the world, that it seems that Dafka, the Jewish people, and we have plenty of reasons to be broken, that the Jewish people are sad, and where do you find what seems to be simcha and joy, although it's an empty hailus and Irish guy, where do you see simcha and joy, he says? He says, Nimtze sha'achshava simcha begolus, the true joy that the Jewish people deserve, the true joy that belongs to every Jew who knows that what, that he's connected to the truth, to the creator of all worlds. True joy is in a state of golus. Therefore, nowadays, my father, in the business that he owned, he had one. There was one particular girl that worked there. My father is an unbelievably patient person. You could ask my wife. I've never in my life really seen him lose his patience. My wife, for sure, has never seen such a thing. The only time I would see a pained look on my father's face was at work. Anything that anybody said to one of the girls that worked there, she started cackling, like laughing. But it was such a crazy thing, my father didn't understand. That, you know, it wasn't even funny. But it was such a simcha. So, if a person wouldn't understand that what? That simcha really comes from terrible despair. That's not real simcha. The simcha of that woman who had Abach didn't have any life. And my father, every time, you know, a different one of her children would walk in, she would say, oh, that's Tom's boy. That's Johnny's boy. That's Billy's boy. Right? She had no life. She had no family. So, L'simcha mazu aisa. No, what are you, my father, what's she laughing about? I mean, what's so funny? Sof kol sof. Simcha in Hollywood. Simcha, every single Narishkeit with the television, in the magazines, and the newspapers, everybody's laughing. This is the gullus of the Shechina. There is an unbelievable exile. Joy and truth is in a state of exile. Therefore, he says, you see that there's simcha by the sitrach of Aklipas, by the plishtim, there's unbelievable joy by the plishtim. And dafke, by the emptiest of the plishtim, is the most laughter. Who you would say, what do you have to laugh at? Rabbanu Shlom, if I were you, I would shoot myself. I wouldn't be able to get up in the morning. Our problems are so small compared to the problems that these people Nebuch have, these Plishtim. Mishom nimshach kol ha-simcha shal ha-oev dekechov mazolus v'arishoyin. So there's a simcha by the Rishoyin. There's a joy by the Rishoyin. Ki ha-sitra achra nikris yogan v'anocha, because the other side of evil is called what? Sadness and despair. Ki yadua. It's not real joy. They're what? They're taking from our joy and they schlep it into the place of impurity, because the Jewish people are not making use of joy. We're not experiencing our joy. We don't feel that joy. Therefore, like anything that's holy, that's not being used, it doesn't just remain neutral. It slips into impurity. The joy of the Jewish people is now in Golas. Therefore, temporarily, in our lack of simcha, the nations of the world, the plishtim, have this simcha. In truth, at the end of the road, all of their joy, all that laughter of the plishtim ends up with crying, ends up with depression and darkness. What's the simcha of the plishtim? Is Narishkeit. And therefore, right now, Simcha is in a state of Golus, of exile. Shtusim of Narishkeit, not God forbid against Halacha, Chas v'chalila, but in Mila d'Shtusa, into that world of Purim, into that world of Shtuyis. Alkein, Misha Reitz, Elovel, Simcha, L'smoyach, B'kedushas, Yahadusai. Therefore, if you want to be a Jew that rejoices in your Jewishness, Yev Shalovel, Simcha, Zual, Piroiv, usually it'll be difficult, if not impossible, for you to come to that. Therefore, Alkein Isha Yisraeli, Kshisameach Esatzma, Yidei Milin Deshtusa, Ayidei Zem Malin Yitzoyitza Ashchinim Agalusa. Therefore, when a Jew is Mesameach himself with Milin Deshtusa, he is taking the sparks out from exile, restoring them to holiness, bringing them into what? Into davening, into learning, into serving Hashem, into raising children, into raising ourselves. This is how one retrieves the Mila d'Shtusa. Now let's continue with the next paragraph inside the Kuntres. Umavur mitzadikim schus yim agenalei. Shezelu mazel selakim kikol kach v'kol chush Hashem esbarach ba'olam. We know that every single sense, every single power that Hashem created in this world, yesh b'esat sad ha-tayv, it has a side of good, of holiness. B'esat sad ha-ra, and has a side also of impurity. And in holiness, the side of b'dichus, of joy, of making a joke, of comedy, of humor, of the imagination, of prophecy, is the holiest thing in the world. It's the 50th level of holiness, it's prophecy, mamish. L'chein, im mishtamshin bo l'tzad ha-kedusha. If you use it in the way of holiness, one can reach the 50th level of Kedusha, which is Purim. Purim is mamish, beyond this world. When a Jew uses humor in the proper way to bring him to the 50th level of holiness, of joy, he's able then to do what? To mock and to ridicule. What? The plishtim. Despair, depression, impurity, evil, all that's tempting him, all that's challenging him, all that's drawing him into the other side, davke, he can make fun of it, he can crack jokes and ridicule the side of impurity. And to see how silly tum is, to see how silly the Yetzirah is, what a liar the Yetzirah is, how this whole world is what? Is one big place of shittim, of narishkeit, with Mila d'shtusa, with shtusa, the kedusha of holiness. Therefore he explains, the ka'es hazmanam esugah b'yaisa, remember he was talking on Sukkot, which is the source of joy for the entire year. So he says, this is a precious time. L'shtal mishem ha'kech hazel eschazek al yodah basiyas rotzen Hashem esbaruch. Ki pesach v'sukkot hem esmanam shabem Hashem esbaruch mashpiyas kech shamilsa d'b'dichus shesofnei alimud. These two times especially, Pesach and Sukkot, are like the jokes that come before what? Pesach of Neizman HaKayis, the summer, which is a very difficult time of Tammuz and Av, a time of difficulty. So the only way to get through the difficulty of what? The heaviness and the sadness and the possible depression of the summer is by what? Having Pesach before, which is Milsa Dichusa, which is the joy and the yontiv of Pesach and Shavuot. And again, the winter is a dark and difficult time. The months of Teves, of Shvat, are difficult months. Therefore, in Kislev, difficult times. So Besukas Lifnei, then therefore we have this man, that joy, remember. Only fear that emerges from a joyous personality, that comes from the Milsa Dibdichusa, from the happiness of Sukkis. Then one can deal with the darkness of the winter. And even that, instead of becoming destructive, can bring a person to great intensity in serving Hashem, but in the way of joy. Again, especially Sukkis. As I wrote in Hashemizberg, Shinishtamish and Midas Hashimcha, the next page, while it's a Nusad of a Zark, and they shall nagish his oimic shibbchisis, or be shiflu shall amidus, haros, shall kopi, tuya hayetze. That on Sukkis in particular, one can tap into a kind of shtus, a kind of joy, a kind of laughter, that throughout the year will help him realize, recognize the futility and the silliness of all that this world takes serious. What this world thinks is so serious. What's the funniest thing in the world? The funniest thing in the world is that which everybody takes most seriously when you realize that suddenly it's not serious. Right? I remember there was a time that the whole country couldn't stop talking about when President Ford was golfing and he hit the ball and it bounced off something and hit him in the head. The whole country couldn't get over that. Like, the whole country couldn't stop laughing. What's so funny? A guy hurt himself in the head. He got hit in the head with a golf ball. If it would have been a regular person, Stam, it wouldn't have been so funny. But here you expect the biggest chshivas, the most dignity, right? The President of the United States. And here this comical thing happened. Leitzonus of Kedusha means when a Jew is filled with the joy of the Emerson, the joy of Sukkis, the joy of being a Jew, he's able to see that which the world says is so serious, for what it really is, Narishkeit. And that which the world says is Narishkeit, Yiddishkeit, and to see it for what it truly is, which is the Simcha of all the worlds, of all creation. Let me just take another 5 minutes and finish. Ubarish, Aina Kavana Chasu Shom, Sheesh, Ezez Man Boilam, Shabayev Shalahakab, Kaldu, Lahitzi, Miapay, Zamila, Sheechel, Ligram, Chasu Shalom, Masha Shalhedach, Shiva, Shal Yehudi, Acher. He says, I'm not saying God forbid there's ever a time that you can make fun of another Jew. That's not what Leitzonus means, at someone else's expense. Doesn't mean to make fun of a Jew. I'm not talking about Purim. The Koishi. Purim one has to be careful also. But he's not talking about making fun of people. Ben Yochid, whether it's an individual Jew, Ben Sibur, or those Jews who like to make fun of other groups of Jews, other types of Jews. He's saying Chalila. Shreiz Amamish Me'aklipis Chamuris B'yoyset, to make fun of Jews, comes from that place of the Plishtim. That's mamish idolatry. Because you hold yourself to be better than another Jew. You make fun of him. That's not what I'm talking about. That a Jew knows how to ridicule and make fun of what? Of his animal impulses. Because the Yetzer Hara makes that which is truly most silly seem most important, and get you all excited or all depressed. Every bad mida inside of a Jew is a shtickle yetzahara, it's a shtickle of avodah zarah, it's a piece of idolatry, it's something that's taking you away from Hashem. Leitzanus of holiness, that we're talking about, that teaches you how to ridicule, how to put down, how to detract from the seriousness of that impurity inside of you. So that ultimately a Jew can distance himself and turn away from all those ugly lower impulses that are driving him towards impurity. And through this holy type of shtusim that comes mi beis Hashem, from the house of Hashem, ultimately one is empowered and receives koiches to do what? To fight and to struggle with the koiches of impurity and the bad midas inside of him. Shezahare tachlis b'yaseinu lo'olam hazeh, which is the tachlis of this world. Let me just end by telling you a story, and today, by telling you a story that's a little similar to the one I mentioned before, but even more remarkable. As some of you might have heard this from me, this ma'aseh, you heard of the tzaddik Gebir Maim Chaim, Reb Chaim Chernevitzer. You know, different tzaddikim were famous for different things. The Gebir Maim Chaim was famous for Shabbos. Everything he spoke about, everything he wrote about, was Shabbos. Shabbos, he wrote a whole sefer, Sidur Shel Shabbos. Shabbos. that this tzaddik, the Gebir Maim Chaim, there were people not so long ago who was zeichet to see the Gebir Maim Chaim that swore that when he would come back from the mikveh Friday, he was at least 6 inches taller than the Jew that went, and a completely different face, and he had different begodim, different clothing, he was an entirely different human being on Shabbos. So this tzaddik, the Gebir Maim Chaim, Reb Chaim Chernevitzer, was once by a shever brachas, by a simcha, and you know that by shever brachas and by chasnas, there's a certain art that's slowly being lost of marshlik, of batchonim. These were special Jews that tell jokes by chasnas and by simchas, but they know how to tell jokes using gemaras, and they poke a little fun with the chasna kala, right? It's a special thing. These were people that in Europe, they used to make a lot of money. Here, it's not so well known in art. They still have it by the chassidim. At this shever brachas, there were great tzaddikim, and the host was the chayzer from Lublin. And the Gebir Maim Chaim was by the shever brachas. And there was a badchan, there was a joker, a clown, who was telling jokes and singing and making poems and so on. And he was dancing on the table, and everybody was laughing, and the Gebir Maim Chaim was also laughing. Now, he began to impersonate the Gebir Maim Chaim as part of his shtick. Now, the Gebir Maim Chaim could take a joke like anybody, however, the person made a mistake. He began to imitate how the Gebir Maim Chaim made Kiddush on Friday night. Now, when the Gebir Maim Chaim would make Kiddush, all the family in the chassidim would stand at least 20 feet away, because he would hold the Kiddush cup. They said they would have to pour for the Gebir Maim Chaim usually at least 10 to 15 times the cup, because before he made Kiddush, he was shaking so much it would splatter all over the place. So they used to hide. They used to run. So this Badchan started imitating the Gebir Maim Chaim's Kiddush. He started with a cup and never... So everybody is laughing, except there was one Jew who wasn't laughing. It was the Gebir Maim Chaim. And the Gebir Maim Chaim pounded on the table. He screamed out, Shabbos, Shabbos! He starts screaming, Shabbos! So that right away, the whole party, like, you know, that's a sure way to end a good, you know, party. That was the end of the Shever Brachas, and everybody just benched. And this person was very frightened that he sat down. And the Gebir Maim Chaim was red with anger. Shabbos! And afterwards, from the moment that Badchan, that clown, arrived home, he became sick, and his health deteriorated till his life was mamish in danger. The two sons, now that Jew was really a tzaddik. I think the name is Rav Yitzchak Rakiver. He was a tzaddik. So his wife sent the two sons to go to the Gebir Maim Chaim to ask for mechila, to ask for forgiveness. And the Gebir Maim Chaim said, it's not me, what? I hope he feels better, I'm Michael. So they went back, and the father was at this point almost dead. And to the point that they didn't know what to do, and they ran to the seer of Lublin, the Chayz, and the Chayz said, I can't help you. The Gebir Maim Chaim has a kepeda, he's still upset. This time that Rabbi Yitzchak, the Badchan's wife, the Rebbetzin, she went. And she started to scream at the Gebir Maim Chaim, says, forget Mechila, my husband's at tzaddik, his whole life he's making Jews happy. He's going to Simchas. He doesn't take any money for that. That's his whole life, is to be Mesameach Jews. And this is what you do to him, that he's almost dead, he's dying? That the Chevra Kaddish, well, the whole town is by his bed now. So the Gebir Maim Chaim said, you taka believe with all of your heart that when your husband tells jokes, it's purely for the sake of heaven, to bring joy to our people? And it's not stam leitzonis. So she said, 100%. So the Gebir Maim Chaim said, thus you have spoken. So we will see. 5 minutes from now, your husband will be a geisa. So that means a geisa slo aleinu? He'll be a moment before death, that last moment before death. If he's able to tell a joke, even then, then it will prove that his laughter and his jokes are only for the Jewish people to rejoice. If not, he will die. She runs back. The Rebbetzin runs back. And the room is packed. Everybody's crying and saying Tillim. They're saying Vidui. And this Reb Yitzchak, the Badchen, the clown, his eyes are closed. He's totally out of it. And the people are all standing around. And the Rebbetzin herself climbs up on a chair. And all of a sudden, the Badchen opens his eyes. And he screams out, "With the Oilam, please move over a little bit. My neshama has no place to go. For the Oilam, please make some room for my neshama." And the people start to laugh. And all of a sudden, he was able to stand, and he was a healthy person. So they came back and they told this to the Seer of Lublin, the whole Maisa. And the Chayza said, "The Madregas of the Be'er Ma'im Chaim are unbelievable. But you know that a Jew has the koyach when he's a Goyses Mamish, even though he was on the verge of death, to be able at that point, on the verge of death, to be Mesamech other people. To try somehow to lighten the burden of our galus." So he says, that Reb Yitzchak is on a madrega, it's even greater. The madrega of the Reb Yitzchak, the Badchan. And therefore the Gemara tells us about the Badchanim who have a chelik and a mahaba, that one of the great Amoraim said, "I envy their share in the world to come." Those two comedians, their share in the world to come. Now how we are to interpret this in our lives, and how we are to use this midah of leitzan, this in serving Hashem, and how we ought to do this in order to strengthen within ourselves the midas ha-simcha in ourselves, our children, our families, our friends, and to take the shechina out of her galus in sadness. So that will continue, Bez Hashem. We'll continue, Bez Hashem, next week. Shakai.